Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Ever boring. It's why I love doing what I do, because we know each and every day of our lives there's just going to be something that either, I hate to say it, sticks in our craw that comes out of Washington, D.C., or there's something to celebrate. You know, listen, we do the Daily Salute. We're bringing back the Daily Salute, back by popular demand, along with what we've been doing for the last 6 months, dumb things I shouldn't have done, and I've got to applaud this crowd. If you've never heard me before, listen to this. We all do dumb things. You know, we leave our coffee on the roof of our car and drive off. We still, some of us, depending on the year of your car, lock the keys in the car. It's more difficult now because that whole hanger thing doesn't always work. Or we leave our garage door open or something else that unfortunately causes us some angst, let's say. But it also unites because we're human. We do dumb things, right? And we have another version of dumb things coming up on this show. I can't wait because you just are all so brilliant. Send me your dumb things. If you've done something dumb and you want to be part of the dumb crowd, you want to be human, in other words, send us the dumb thing that you did. Trust me, you will feel better. You will feel better. So the controversy, the buzz in the backyard, certainly in the Midwest, but in other places as well, is this conversation over Indiana and what's happening in Indiana. Will Indiana's new law, they're saying, force more sporting events, big ones that bring big dollars to places like Indianapolis to relocate? So the NCAA is coming up with a decision about whether to call for next year's Final Four in women's hoop to find a new venue. They're really thinking about it. And for reasons like this, because there's an Indiana pizza shop owner who says, I'm not going to cater to gay weddings. I'm not going to do it. And there are more restaurants and other places that are not helping the governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, very much by saying, I refuse to serve gay people. So now it is becoming that. It is becoming that. And Mike Pence, the governor, is trying to put a lid on it, but he's having a tough time, let's put it that way. So the upshot is, if you're a business in Indianapolis, and things like the Women's Final Four would pump dollars into your pocket, it is a business, you have mouths to feed, you're not happy about that. Yeah, you're not happy about it. There's a lot of pressure that's floating around out there. In fact, it's interesting because this morning when I woke up, I was kind of perusing the landscape, looking at the various headlines. I kind of pick a section of the country each day. I'll let you into my little secret. And I look at, because yes, there still are newspapers, and I look at the headlines and what people are talking about. For example, in Florida, we have lots of listeners in Florida, from Miami to the great city of Sarasota and beyond. Arcadia is a cool place. I've talked about Arcadia on the air before. So I see this new Rasmussen poll. And you could say, well, that's a right-leaning poll, but that's not necessarily true because I've seen it slant in a different direction just by the numbers. But this new Rasmussen poll, and you can think what you want of it, finds that 53% of Americans would not want the Religious Freedom Restoration Act legislation in their state. So that's 53%. 70% still agree that a Christian wedding photographer who has a deeply held religious belief opposing same-sex marriage has the right to turn down working a job at that wedding. You know, so that's the thing. I'm going to agree. If you really, that's how you feel, right? If I'm a live and let live at this point. Come on. But that's me. Whether I have some very conservative views, absolutely. And then I have some views that don't necessarily jive with that, because I go with what's authentic. Whatever you get from me, trust me, when you walk away from the show, I'm serious. It's authentic. And I like authenticity in people. So if somebody's a photographer and they really don't like that, it makes them uncomfortable, they don't agree with the lifestyle, they just can't jive with it, then they're a business. They shouldn't be forced to shoot photographs of people they don't want to shoot photographs of. Because, by the way, that could be a heterosexual couple they don't like working with. So now the Indiana Republican Governor Mike Pence signing this law, signing this bill into a law, says that it basically, to give you the letter of it, it prohibits the government from substantially burdening a citizen's exercise of religion unless there is a compelling government interest. So now this is a massive firestorm. Think Malibu on fire. You know how California's in this drought, which, by the way, that's a big story. People have to cut back. Governor Jerry Brown saying you got to cut back 25%, meaning you can't brush your teeth with the water running. You can't be watering the lawns until they're so green. It doesn't matter anymore. But that's another thing. So here's the thing. This is a firestorm. There have been lots of protests because they're saying that the law allows blatant discrimination against same-sex couples no matter what the governor says. So, you know, it is about popular opinion, and we live in the 140-character world. If it's out there on Twitter and the trend is, forget you, Indiana, we're not bringing our business there, then this is what's over their heads. This is what they're living with. And the governor is trying to figure out, what do I do? What do we do to tweak this? Because you either believe one thing. You believe the governor is all about this religious freedom and wasn't even thinking about, oh, this is going to be terrible for homosexuals. Or you think that this was a sly way to slip it in. I'm going to say, knowing people that know Mike Pence, who, yeah, he's a Republican. Yeah, he's a conservative. But from what I know, from inside, that's all I can say. They won't come on the show. Of course they won't. Sources, is this was not what he was intending when he signed it. He was not thinking that this was what was going to come out of this. But either way, he's now stuck in the middle of it. So Pence has sent the measure back to the Indiana legislature to fix the discriminatory aspects of the law. So how do they fix the discriminatory aspects of it? How do you do that? I mean, the issues become so divisive. Because, you know what, here's the thing. We're split on how to balance diversity. Let's be honest about that. With our culture, with traditions, and with religious convictions. We are. We're split. I think it's live and let live. If you feel that way, and you're a photographer, and you're a Christian photographer, then you shouldn't have to. Why would you be forced to? Why? And vice versa. Does that make sense? Jeff Steyer has an incredible thing to talk about next. He's been a guest on the show many, many times. He's in our virtual green room. He's live with us tonight. That's coming up around the bend here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Green room. You know, he might be in his pajamas, but man, we have such a super big audience that at this time of the show, I am very excited that he's joining us live. Well worth it, because I love the fact that they're taking on the issues, as always. Jeff Steyer, and we're talking NCPPR, our pals, actually taking on the folks from Bravo, or at least a celebrity chef. And this is interesting how this wraps around, and we'll explain all of this in a second here. You know, as we look at, because you know how Jeff is the director of risk analysis, and he is really pushing all the buttons with his just released article in the National Review, and talking about, you know, a Bravo celebrity chef and TV personality, and what he did for catapulting himself pretty much in the middle of this public policy expert on food legislation. So, you know, we got this food movement going on, but to what end? And we're going to find out right now. Hey, Jeff, thanks for popping on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to be with you. I did wear a suit for our interview, you know.
I think it's awesome. You rock that you came on with us. It's so fun to have you on live. So let's explain this. I saved it for you. Let's flesh this out a little bit more and explain to me why you're calling out this Bravo celebrity chef.
Well, Tom Colicchio is a celebrity chef. He has all these high-end fancy restaurants. He sells artesian mugs for $46 a piece. And what he does is he donates 10% of his profits from those $46 mugs to a group called Food Policy Action. Now, Food Policy Action is known for having this scorecard, this national food policy scorecard. I remember getting a call from the Washington Post back in 2013 about this, asking me what I thought about the food policy scorecard, and I looked at it and I said, look, 38 House and Senate members with the lowest scores, zero on Tom Colicchio's scorecard, were Republicans. All the top scorecards, scoring members of Congress, were Democrats. And I said, oh, I wonder what their standards are. And it turns out that the standards are, if you believe that taxpayers should pay more money for food, if you think we need more government regulation over food, if you think we need warning labels on biotech genetically modified food, whatever you think requires more government, you get a higher score. And if you think we ought to have less government interference in how we eat, you get a low score. And I told the Washington Post at the time that the scorecard itself, as a measure of whether a member of Congress is good or bad at food policy, that the scorecard itself was a sham. It's kind of like saying that an NRA scorecard on gun ownership is just kind of, you know, what do you think about safety? Many people support gun rights, so you get a high score. If you don't support gun rights, you get a low score. That doesn't mean anything. It just means where you stand on these issues. Tom Colicchio, this celebrity chef, is trying to come off as, well, if you get a high score for us, you must be in favor of good food. And it's really an elitist point of view. It does nothing to improve public health, as he tries to paint it. So it was no surprise when I learned that he became MSNBC's food policy analyst. It all makes sense now.
Right, and then that all gets pumped out there, though, and that is slanted in a ridiculous direction, as you've already pointed out to us, correct?
It's slanted the way a cliff is slanted, Kate.
It certainly is, isn't it? And you and I have talked about this many times here on this show when we're talking about even other issues. I mean, what is the deal with this labeling of food and the environmental impact of farming and food production and,
yep,
you know, then looking at Congress and wrapping that into it,
exactly,
and what it's doing
and that's
to the
exactly
environment.
What I wrote in my piece together with my co-author Julie Kelly is that what Tom Colicchio tries to do, and the food police and the nanny state and all of these activists who are pushing sustainable diets, whatever that may mean, they're trying to separate us by red plates and blue plates. They want to make food political. They want to inject politics into how we eat. So it's not about good food and healthy food. It's about injecting ideology into how we eat. Telling us, for instance, as the new dietary guidelines for Americans may do, according to the Obama administration report, is that eating meat should be reduced, not because meat isn't necessarily healthy, which it is, but because meat is bad for the environment. Meat, especially red meat, they say, causes global warming. And because global warming is not sustainable, we ought to eat less meat. And that's the federal government's nutrition advice. And we're trying to stop that at the National Center. So, but that's part of this ideology, is that we have to have, quote-unquote, sustainable food. Of course, nobody wants to have unsustainable food, but the ideas behind it, the ideologies behind it are about, I remember reviewing the Dietary Guidelines report, and they talked about labor policy. Now, this was nutrition guidelines. Congress gave the federal government authority, gave the administration a request to have nutrition guidelines every 5 years, update those nutrition guidelines. And they've been hijacked by activists who are interested in climate change. Now, regardless of what you think about climate change, and regardless of whether you think eating hamburgers causes climate change, the administration has no right to insert climate change into nutrition advice. Congress didn't give the executive branch authority to do that. And, of course, it's not true that eating hamburgers is going to cause the globe to get hot.
Yeah, there is some inherent danger, isn't there? Do we have to politicize everything and now food? That's bad. I mean, we are separating ourselves. It's ridiculous. It's like we're the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. There is something
that is so wrong.
There's just something so wrong about that, Jeff, because why? Why would we do that? I mean, why would we allow that to happen? But I guess I'm answering my own question, because as you said, all roads led in this direction for this Bravo chef to MSNBC, which makes sense because then that would be attractive to them to put him on the airwaves.
Exactly.
But,
this, and it's not, you know, and here's the thing, Kate. He gets his gravitas, he gets his credibility from perhaps having been a good chef or at least being a good television personality. But what I would implore your listeners is not to let that glow of being perhaps a good chef or at least a guy who knows how to sell a restaurant, not to fool you into thinking that just because he knows how to sell a $46 mug on a website, not to think that his policies about nutrition advice are accurate or will improve health.
Yeah, and that's the key thing with this. It's about the research and the analysis, which is, should not be political anyway, let's face it, right?
Exactly. And I think we're past that point, right? I wrote an article for National Review, a political magazine, about food policy. It's become political. But we're pushing back. We don't think that we ought to judge how we eat based on politics. We don't think it should be politicized. And what Tom Colicchio has done, and we pointed this out in our National Review article, is that he is making it political. He is telling us that we can't eat without it being a political thing. And we're just standing up to that and saying, look, we ought to have Republicans and Democrats enjoying food together and have some meat, and don't worry about it causing global warming, because it doesn't.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jeff Steyer, Senior Fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. By the way, you can hit him up on the 140-character world. Tweet all this out at Jeff A. Steyer, S-T-I-E-R. Jeffrey, thanks so much for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Always fun. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you. So there you go. I agree. Now we have become so much about separation and politics that here we go with the food thing. I mean, here we go with the food thing. It is just bad politics. And is that improving our health? It is not improving our health. I mean, listen, I have been delving into this for weeks, for months after I got sick with strep. There's no favors here that are happening. I mean, there's absolutely not. And as Jeff says, it's impossible to separate our food culture from the politics now and policies that are part of our choices as taxpayers and consumers. Really? This is what Colicchio said in his gig. And so he's saying, Jeff Steyer's saying, why? Why do we have to have this? Oh, me, oh, my, oh, oy vey, as my friends would say. Hang with us.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Tonight, hey, everybody. Getting ready for the big holiday, whether it's Passover or you're celebrating Easter. I wish you and your families the very, very best. Very, very best. All right, speaking of celebrating, you know, it's a long way off before we anoint the next president. Ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum. I wonder if you get tired of that song. So let me give you an update on a couple of political things when it comes to the people who are running for the job of prez. I wonder if anybody really wants that job anymore. Massive criticism. But hey, you're the leader of the free world. And that's the key thing. I've said on this show before, and many of you brilliant brains out there have written me, I love this topic. What do you think makes a great president? And put everything aside. Take a breath and think about it. To you, forget what people are telling you or whatever your ideology is, although it may jive with that. What makes a great president? What do you think would make a great president? What are the three top things that you would look for? And I'm going to use the word that I used at the top. For me, authenticity, baby. If whether I agree or not, if I feel that someone's really being authentic and they're not being manhandled, and they say one thing and then flip-flop on another because the polls say something different. Although maybe in these times, that's naive, and perhaps I think unicorns are going to fly, because it is about spin, and it is about getting elected, and it is about big dollars. And maybe that is unrealistic to think even the greatest people who have the best intentions, can they really be 100% authentic? Is it just impossible to be that way? Is it just impossible? So anyway, Hillary Clinton, we keep talking about Clinton because she is the Democratic nominee. We know it, barring some bizarre thing that happens. And apparently, you know, she's got that wagon full of emails that she's dragging behind her, and whether or not that's going to hurt her. But her lead over her Republican foes has kind of slipped in the three critical swing states anyway because of this whole thing with the email. Quinnipiac University, they do constant polling. I think that's all they do at that university is poll, because I get them every week. They're saying Clinton had a one-point edge in the Florida dead heat in February. The last 2 months have also erased Clinton's previously double-digit lead over every other potential Republican contender for the presidency in Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And as many of you know, those are the big states, baby. Those are the states you want, Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Since then, Senator Rand Paul, the libertarian-leaning GOP, contender from Kentucky, is now the man to beat in Ohio because he kind of narrowed that margin against Clinton to just a five-point deficit. And when you look at polls, that means that can go either way. So that's very big, very clever. There's some problems in Clinton land because she had a tremendous lead early going, and now that lead is evaporating. So now you're up to date. I think we're going to see that change day in and day out, depending on controversies, depending on what people are saying who are running, depending on a whole bunch of factors, where they've just been. It's fascinating to me. It really is, because I believe in democracy. I do. I might get frustrated with it, but I grew up outside of Philadelphia. I can't tell you how many times I walked by that Liberty Bell. Can't tell you how many times I went to Independence Hall, and I thought, I can't believe how this country was founded. The blood, the sweat, the tears that I talk about in modern times, they were all there, and they were all part of this. So I'm for democracy, and I still think even with massive frustrations, we have the best system in the world. I mean, you haven't lived until you've been shot at in Mexico and watched people to save their lives stuff ballot boxes because they're basically told to at the end of a gun. That's not democracy. I've seen what happens in other places where they don't have the freedom to really vote the way they want to vote. So even if we're frustrated, always keep that in mind. And remember, power to the people, baby. You have the power to pick up the phone, to write the email. You have the right to be upset and make that phone call. Send that email. Don't lay in the weeds. The more people that are active, the more change you will affect in these United States. Jack down under, hello. Hello, Jack. I think Jack has lost his voice, or we've lost Jack. I'm not sure which. Jack, do you have laryngitis? Oh, my. All right, call us back, and we'll give you a free pass, Jack, because something has happened there. He was in our secondary room, because the virtual green room is saved, of course, for the people who join us on the show. He was in the holding room, and maybe we just didn't have things up for Jack in that room. All right, so anyway, in talking about the presidency, like I said, it's interesting times that we're in because we've just now gone through another president who had two terms. So if you go back to the Clintons, it's Clinton, Bill Clinton, two terms, then Bush, two terms, then Obama, two terms. Who's next? Is it going to be another Democrat? Are the Republicans going to take advantage of some of the holes that have happened along the way for the Democrats? Or no, are they going to attack each other so much that it becomes that spectacle where nobody really completely emerges? Yes, somebody emerges, but they just missed that finish line for whatever reason. For whatever reason it is. So some of these big issues are going to have to be decided, and it's tough. You have constituents, and, you know, are you hardcore, I'll say hardcore conservative? Are you sort of somewhere in the middle, depending on the social issues, depending on financial and economic? You know, you can be a conservative and be fiscally conservative and not be quite as conservative when it comes to social issues. So there are kind of blurred lines. Not kind of. There are blurred lines in our society right now. But how does that ultimately play out once we talk about primaries and talk about strong candidates and who's going to run and who's talking about running, but, you know, ultimately they don't for whatever reason? And mostly that relates to money and having enough oomph to get over the finish line. I mean, if you're not polling well and you're not creating excitement in New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina, some will even test really the whole Florida thing, then it's not good as you get closer and closer to the countdown, let's say, on these things. And is it just going to be Hillary Clinton, or is it going to be somebody else that is also cropping up on the Democratic side? I mean, for the sake of making it a little more intriguing, you would think there might be another one or two Democratic candidates, but would you want to be that sacrificial lamb? I mean, if you're Joe Biden, people are talking about you, but does Joe Biden really think he has a great shot against Hillary Clinton? Does he put himself out there for that? For that matter, does the former governor of Maryland do that, or whoever else happens to crop up? Is it worth it for what you have to go through to get to those points where you're hitting the primaries? Because you're having to raise money, you're traveling around, you're talking to a lot of people. I mean, perhaps, I mean, to run for president. How many of us ever get the thrill of running for president, of having the passion, we hope, of wanting to be president of the United States, to take all that in? It's not easy to get elected. Yeah, but it wasn't easy from the beginning, I don't think. Just more territory to cover now and more funds that have to be raised. It's insane when you say it costs $1 billion to be president. $1 billion. And even if you're incredibly confident and you have great connections and you know that there are PACs starting, that is still an awesome number. That is still an incredible number hanging over your head. $1 billion. So anybody who has some great ideas, in fact, call them an idealist, that has the passion, that wants to run, that has the authenticity, I mean, are they really electable? Are they really electable? And the answer is, yeah, probably not, unless they have somebody that is behind the scenes pulling the strings and can get the money. Somebody who has the ability to raise those funds, get the eyeballs in the right direction. I'm telling you, I'm predicting that this is going to be, perhaps, depending on the Republicans, a much tighter finish than even I originally thought for 2016. There's no big layups here. Nothing really screams layup to me. For a while, I kind of thought, for the Republicans, wow, Rand Paul, he's gaining a lot of steam. He's got some great ideas that he had from before, and he's really pushing them. And there's a lot of younger people that like Rand Paul, so that breathes new life into the Republican Party. But now there's splinter groups, and there's a lot of people that are leaning toward Scott Walker, so then that takes away from ultimately Rand Paul. And, you know, then you got Marco Rubio and, of course, Ted Cruz, who's the only official candidate in this whole thing in the first place. All right, coming up on the flip side, odds and ends, 11, count them, 11 Atlanta educators convicted in a test cheating scandal. Oh, my, that's next.
Bye. By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Tonight, I hope you're doing well in those nooks and crannies. My grandfather used to say, any day above ground is a good day. So, friends, if you're having a tough time, at least take that into account. You're above ground. Absolutely. There's still another day. What's that little trite Annie song? The sun will come up tomorrow. No, sun will come up. Let's go to Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hi, I hope you can hear me now, Kate.
I can hear you now.
Oh, good. I thought I'd been faded into obscurity. Look, I hope you have a happy Easter this weekend. And to all of our Hasidic friends out there, I hope they have a great Passover.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before I get on to the fracas over the religious right things, I've got a joke for you. So I wanted to beat Dan from Texas to this one.
I want to hear it.
Okay, a guy walks into a bar where there's a robot bartender. And the robot says, you know, what do you have? And being a bit of a James Bond fan, the guy says, I'll have a martini. So the robot comes back with the best martini this guy's ever tasted. And the robot bartender says, so what's your IQ? And the customer says, oh, it's around the 168 mark. So the robot proceeds to talk about things like quantum physics and space exploration, medical technology and so on. And then the guy leaves and says, oh, okay, I'm going to go back in. I'm going to have another one. Try this again. The bartender says, oh, what will you have? I'll have a martini. Comes back, and again, the robot bartender says, so what's your IQ? The guy says, ah, it's about 100. And the robot starts ponders this interesting question, who makes the better quarterback, Eli or Peyton Manning? You know, current, you know, events about Tiger Woods and, you know, a couple of bawdy jokes about women. And the guy again leaves. So, okay, I'll come back third time. I only live around the corner. I don't have to drive. So, you know, I don't have to worry about getting caught DUI. Again, he goes in and he orders a martini. The bartender comes back and says, so what's your IQ? He says, oh, it's about 50. And the robot bartender leans in real close and says, so you're still happy you voted for Obama?
But I'm bump. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I thought I'd throw that in. Okay, now, the religious freedom thing. I'm quite sure in your radio career, you have had people wanting to advertise on any of the radio shows with products that you find offensive.
Yeah, yeah.
You have them wrong. How is that any different to being, whether it be a cake maker or whatever, a photographer, being asked to make something for something that is equally to them as if offensive as that? Here's a simple solution to it, and it also goes for bars when it comes to smoking. If I run a bar and I'm a smoker, I should be able to run my establishment that caters for smokers if I so choose, because there are a lot of bars out there that will cater for non-smokers.
Right.
If you make wedding cakes and so on, and you don't, and you are a firm believer in traditional marriage, you shouldn't be forced to do it. Why isn't there someone in the LGBT community out there with enough capitalist nous to open up a bakery, or anyone out there that's willing to cater for those areas, put up a big banner on there? We will make, you know, we will serve the LGBT community. Yeah, whether it be photographers, cake makers, wedding planners, anything like that. You know, the United States was built on a free market. There is a niche that needs to serve the LGBT community. All right? You know, I'm not saying that they should be hunted into obscurity like ISIS is doing in the Middle East, but you know, here's an opportunity for some capitalists to get in there. And their niche in the market will be...
They'll make money.
Small community. They will make a killing.
And, they'll make a killing.
And look, I've looked around in my local area and so on, and yes, we have got places that will put up signs. We support traditional marriage. And there are other places that will, in the areas where the LGBT community is big in and around Melbourne, that will say, we will supply services to the LGBT community. So, you know, this is a great marketing and commercial opportunity for someone to do it. You know, and it's always been, if you go into a business and you get crappy service, you don't go back there next time. You go somewhere else. And,
right.
You know, in most of these areas, you know, I'm quite sure in even the small, you know, bar the really smallest towns in the United States, there is more than one bakery in town that will make a wedding cake. If this business doesn't want to do it, you go to the one across the road and you take them their business. You know, these are private businesses. You know, where you have a set of rules of what sort of people you will allow into your home, and a private business is an extension of your home. It's an extension of your life and your family, because usually these small businesses are all family run, and taking them to the cleaners. Yeah, you know, I'm quite sure a lot of these groups that go into these businesses are doing it deliberately to cause a needless fracas and needless headlines in this militant age of protest. You know, it seems that, you know, people don't seem to believe that you've got a legitimate protest unless you can make some big headline splash in the news and make a big court case out of it and take someone to the cleaners financially.
You know, that's so true. I mean, we live in such a litigious society, it's ridiculous, these frivolous lawsuits. But here's the bottom line, Jack. You know, it's easy, there is discrimination, and we know that. So now you weigh discrimination versus somebody just taking advantage versus, okay, business rights. And it's really a mixed bag. And once everybody, you know this, Jack, once everybody piles on you, it's very tough to get out from underneath that pile. And the governor of Indiana is in that situation. He knows it. He's being buried. And that's why he went to the legislature and said, fix it, change it, do something. Because he knows he's on the line.
Yeah, but the reality is, Kate, we all discriminate.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or
form. Jack, and why is that, Jack? Because even the Supreme Court, remember Sonia Sotomayor, when they were asking her questions, you know, she was getting drilled, that whole thing about becoming, you know, she was the nominee, et cetera, to be on the Supreme Court. And she was asked that question about being objective, and she, at least she was honest, she said, nobody's 100% objective because we're living, breathing human beings. We were raised a certain way. And even if you have different feelings than your family, you have certain values. You have certain ways of looking at things. And there is not a person on this planet that can tell me they don't have something, some way they look at things that they're 100% objective. That's not possible.
No, it's not, and I've got different complaints about Justice Sotomayor, usually because of her performance standards, because history showed that three-quarters of her rulings turned out to be incorrect legally or unconstitutional and were overturned. So the fact that she got promoted, you know, is not good. You know, if you got your job wrong three-quarters of the time, you wouldn't now have a nationally syndicated radio show. You'd be unemployed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's absolutely. But, you know, it's being a Supreme Court justice is like getting tenure at a college. Very tough to touch you, baby. Once you're the Supreme Court justice, you don't lose that gig. And the same thing with the tenured professor. And the idea of putting her on wasn't a bad one, except for that going through some of her performance, and you just pointed it out, and then ultimately some of the rulings. Yeah, there were better women you could have put on that in a Supreme Court role. No offense to her, but there are powerful, fabulous women that I think could have slipped into that role. It's not a woman discriminatory thing either, by the way. So pretty interesting. I agree, Jack. I mean, look, it's true. You know, we look through certain eyes and we say certain things for definite reasons. Good call, Jack. Talk to you again soon. And all of you know you can press my buttons anytime, 24/7. Send me an email, americatonight.net.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. 845-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.